Welcome to the Work Camper Show, a podcast devoted to helping you discover how to finance your RV travel dreams. I'm Steve Anderson, the president of Work Camper News. Each one of our episodes will either introduce you to people who are already living the RV lifestyle or to opportunities to work short-term jobs. You'll also learn how to hit the road the right way and make the most of every opportunity. Now let's turn over today's show to your host, Greg Gerber.
Thank you, Steve. Today I'm going to interview a couple who met on eHarmony and discovered a love for travel. Today they are passionate about sharing the work camping and RVing lifestyle with others. Today's episode is sponsored by The Dreamer's Journey, a new online course and community produced by Work Camper News. Life is way too short to keep your dreams on hold, so don't be held back by fear because you were designed for more. Get started with the RV lifestyle the right way with this comprehensive guide. For a monthly subscription fee, people can participate in two online webinars every week to learn things like what type of RV to buy, goal setting, how to budget for the adventure, developing a positive mindset, where to call home, and how to find a job or start a mobile business. All online events will be recorded for watching anytime. Subscribers can also join an open question and answer session each month. For more information, visit www.rvdreamersjourney.com. Kimberly Leal and Phil Gunder met each other on eHarmony dating website and have been together for almost 6 years. They started full-time RVing about 2.5 years ago with their two dogs and a cat in a 28-foot travel trailer. Kimberly grew up in Missouri, but Phil had already amassed a lot of travel experience due to his 22-year career in the U.S. Air Force. They started a website called BC RV Travels to chronicle their experiences and share their thoughts on places they stayed and activities they enjoyed while visiting a particular area. Like many new full-time RVers, Kimberly and Phil got off to a quick start by spending as much of the first year simply traveling before they discovered work camping. Since then, they've completed 3 assignments, all of which were at campgrounds. Their first experience was at an oceanfront RV park in Florida, where it was not uncommon to see 3 or 4 foot sharks swimming in the water off the shore. The next job was at a private campground in New Hampshire, where they had plenty of time to explore the New England area because of a unique work schedule. They would work 3 days and take 7 days off, which was a big plus when their grandchildren came to visit. From there, they found a job working at KOA near Denver, where they experienced an interesting weather phenomenon. This fall, the temperature dropped from 85 degrees to 19 degrees overnight, followed by a snowstorm that left 8 inches of snow on the ground. When they left Colorado, they went to Texas for a while to contemplate their next move. Kimberly and Phil maintain a list of interesting work assignments they learn about from other people or while reading job listings on Work Camper News. They review those periodically in planning their travels. To tell us more about their lives on the road, please welcome Kimberly Leal and Phil Gunder to the show. Thanks for joining us today, Kimberly and Phil. I really appreciate the time. Tell us, what is BC RV Travels all about and how did you come up with this idea?
Before we started, or kind of right about the same time we decided to go full time, I told Kim, we need to figure out a way to chronicle where we've been, what we're doing, give us some thoughts on the campgrounds or the areas we've stayed, what we've done while we were boondocking. So we threw around a couple ideas for a website name, and that's how we came up with the BC is a fun thing we had between the two of us, and then RV, of course, and then our travels. But all it is really just it chronicles where we've been, what we've done, where we've stayed.
We were in a Walgreens and he called me Baby Cakes. And when we went up to pay, the woman said, Mr. Baby Cakes, it'll be two whatever. And so ever since then, we've called each other Mr. and Mrs. Baby Cakes. So that's where the BC comes from.
That's cute. I was on your website and checking out your story a little bit. I guess you guys met online. Is that right?
We did.
Yes, we met through eHarmony.
Okay. And that worked out very well. And you've been together for how long?
You tell them. I keep forgetting.
5.5 years.
5.5 years, yeah.
Oh, that's cool. And so how long have you been RVing?
Now, what, about two and a half years? 2.5 years full time.
Okay. And where were you from?
I was from everywhere because I was in the military. But Kim was from
Missouri.
Wentzville, Missouri.
Wentzville, Missouri was my hometown.
Okay. Well, this is being recorded just after Veterans Day, so happy belated Veterans Day to you.
Oh, thank you.
What branch did you serve in?
22 years in the Air Force.
Air Force. Very good. And I was in the Air Force as well. Spent my entire time at Holloman Air Force Base, New Mexico, which was quite a change for a kid from Wisconsin. But yes, it was fun.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so
I'd never been there. I had heard it was a really nice place.
And so you have been RVing for 2.5 years. And have you been work camping the entire time?
Not the entire time. When we first started out, we went ahead and just saw a lot of places, different states. And then
we started in the summer and we did a work camp that winter. October. So we weren't gone that long.
Yeah.
We've done 3 work camp experiences so far, and they've been 5 to 7 months.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, what kinds of things have you done?
Well, let me see. Our first one was in Carrabelle, Florida, which is right outside of Panama City. And that was
a private campground.
It was a private campground. It was different. Kim did office work. I did mainly outside maintenance, which for that particular campground was raking up pine needles and picking up pine cones.
We were on crushed shell.
Yeah, we were.
Was the gravel of the, and it was basically a parking lot on the Gulf of Mexico.
Yep, that's what it was.
So, and they had just had the hurricane.
Oh.
So there was a lot of repair work and stuff going on at that time. Hurricane Michael?
Hurricane Michael, yeah.
Was your site right on the water?
No, I mean, they had sites that that were right on the water. Those were reserved for the motorhomes.
Okay.
It wasn't more than a couple hundred feet from one.
Yeah, I could see it out the window. But we weren't sitting right on it. The work camper slots were over by the office so that we could see the office. They didn't require you to be in the office the whole time. You could go back to your rig. But every time I attempted to go back to the rig to fix lunch or do something, somebody came or something happened.
Of
so
course.
I just wound up bringing it to the office and staying in there the whole time.
Well, it sounds like it was a beautiful campground if it was right on the Gulf.
It was pretty.
It was pretty, yeah.
There were beautiful, beautiful sunsets and sunrises there. It had a fishing pier. There wasn't a lot of sand beach. There was some small beach area, but the water was kind of brackish.
Okay.
So there were islands in front of us, so it was kind of still there. So that allowed it to grow stuff in there, and there were a lot of sharks and critters in the water, so there wasn't it wasn't a swimming beach per se,
but I mean the sharks weren't that big. They were only about 2 to 4 feet,
still
two to 3 feet.
Ones they were catching, it was more of a fishing area than a true beachy swim area. A lot of people came down to fish.
A 3-foot shark, though, could ruin your day.
Certainly could.
Yeah.
Okay. So that was your first work camping experience. What'd you do next?
New Hampshire.
Then we were in Colorado, and we were going, we need to figure out what we're going to do next summer, right?
We had gotten the one in New Hampshire before we took the one in Florida. New Hampshire was the following summer. And so we drove up the East Coast from Florida, and about 6 weeks we spent till we got to New Hampshire, the town of Lee, New Hampshire, a little privately owned park called Wellington Camping Park. The owner lived on site, had a house above the campground. Most of our clientele were seasonal. There wasn't a whole lot of work to do there. We really enjoyed it, though. They had us work 6-hour shifts. We worked for 3 days, and then we were off for 7. And then we worked another 4 days, and we were off for 7. And I did the office work. I cleaned around. There was an activity barn connected to the office. Had some bathrooms and stuff. But the owner would come down every day, and we would sit out on the porch swing and talk. And it was just, the people were nice, and she was really invested in her property, which made it enjoyable for me.
Well, that's nice. Well, New Hampshire is a beautiful place to visit.
No, absolutely beautiful. And with the 7 days off, we had so much time to explore, and we were on the border of Maine and Massachusetts. We were real close, so we did a lot of time.
Maine was one of my favorite places to visit. So do you have any lobster?
Oh, we did.
I
think we had lobster like every 2 or 3 days, maybe.
Not right. That often, but it was good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we got to visit Boston.
Oh, we got yes.
To go to Boston.
Boston. Yeah.
That's went nice. To Fenway, and then we went to a football game.
I went to a Patriots game. Yeah.
Oh, that's neat. Something's growling in the background there. I don't.
That's my pug.
That's our dog.
Oh. When I was in New Hampshire.
Dogs and a cat that travel with us, so.
Oh, the two dogs and a cat? What kind are they?
Yep.
Pugs.
Okay.
Small.
Small pug, yeah. Because we're only in 28 feet, so we had to go as small as we could on everything.
Small with a loud snore.
Oh, yeah. Is that a snore? That's hilarious. Yeah. So when you were in New Hampshire, did you get a chance to go to the Ben & Jerry's factory?
We did not.
No, we did not.
Okay.
I don't know why we didn't do that.
I'm not sure why. We're golfers, so we like to golf a lot. So we got to golf a couple of the courses that were there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure why we didn't get to the Ben & Jerry's factory. They've invited us back.
The girls would have liked that. We had our grandkids come up. They visited us everywhere but Florida. They came to us in New Hampshire, and they came to us this summer. We were in Colorado.
And how old are they? So,
10 and 13 now.
10 and 13, yeah.
Okay, those are fun ages to go RVing with grandchildren. They're old enough to do everything and really appreciate it.
Well, they don't really come RVing with us. Whenever we get to a spot when we're doing work camping, we'll find out from the parents when's a good time, and then we'll fly them up there and we'll have them.
Well, they stay with us in the trailer, though. So.
Yeah, they do. Well,
yeah, they like the campgrounds.
That's neat. Okay, now for your third work camping job, was that a campground as well?
We were in a KOA. So we were in a KOA in a little town called Carbondale. Crystal River, which was about 3 hours outside of Denver, near another town called Glenwood Springs.
30 miles from Aspen, between Glenwood Springs and Aspen.
Okay. Same type of thing? You were working the office and outside?
Yeah. I actually had the opportunity to get more involved with maintenance at this one than I had it in the other ones, where I was able to drive a tractor. I was actually doing repair on electrical and plumbing and repairing cabins and sinks and,
this was our first paid position.
This was a paid position for us.
Okay. Okay. And is this something that you brought with you from the military experience, the ability to do that kind of work?
He's been handy.
I've been kind of handy at doing anything, but I mean, that was part of it. Cause I owned a home, after I got out of the service. And I did all the repairs on that. And then when Kim and I were together, we were getting the house ready for sale, so I was doing all the work for that too.
Mm-hmm.
I owned a home when I met him, so he did all the updates and repairs on it. He's really handy, so
okay.
It helps with the work camping.
Okay.
Yeah, Yeah. Right. But there at that one, the manager that was there was at least willing to show us, you know, how to drive the tractor, how to do the repairs and stuff like that. Where the other places, they only wanted the one guy
to do maintenance
who was there to do it. So,
they all had turns at doing. Some of them were better at things than others. Like Phil could do the plumbing and electric stuff because he's done that. But they had a wood chipper, and they would, you know, they had to trim a lot of trees and stuff. We had a storm. We had a snowstorm before we left this year.
Yeah, we had.
That was real heavy.
It was at the 10th or 11th of September. Yeah, so it put about 6 or 8 inches of snow on the ground, and all the trees were cracking because
it was wet and heavy.
Yeah, it was wet and heavy snow. So,
oh,
it was a mess. Yeah.
Well, that's why we get RVs, so we can get out of areas like that to go down to Texas where you are right now. And you're staying.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, it just so happened, you know, after that happened. So I think it was 85 degrees.
Oh, yeah, on the weekend.
So it was 85 degrees the day before. And then the temperature dropped down to like 19 degrees the next day.
I remember that.
And so we had snow and rain that day. And then it went back up to about 60 or 70 degrees
Weekend, yeah.
Yeah.
It was a quick wet, wet, wet snow. But because it was so heavy, it was, you know, the campground was full and we had lots of trees and they were cracking all over people's RVs. So they were out there trimming the trees up and getting the snow off. And
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Are you primarily interested in working at campgrounds? Is that what you're hoping to do all the time?
No.
No, I mean, that just happened to be where we've ended up. Because we were here last year up until April, and then the whole pandemic thing hit. And we had already had an opportunity lined up in Montana, but on our route heading in that direction, nobody was sure what was going on. They weren't sure whether they were going to actually be open, whether they were going to be able to pay us, et cetera, et cetera.
But it was a campground too.
Campground too. And I had every work camping news thing that we get in the mail, I review it, look it over and ask him what she thinks. And then we have little folders on our email that we just save each one into if we're interested in them.
By state, he organizes them. So he just said what state, you know, because we were getting these emails from the campground, like they didn't know if they were going to, because it was a paid position too. They didn't know if they were going to be able to pay us. They didn't know when they would open. They didn't know all of this. And we were pretty far away from Montana. So he said, where do you want to go? Well, we were already headed to Colorado to my daughter's. So I said, New Mexico, Colorado, Utah, start looking. So he went through our files and sent out, about 10 replies. And we wound up getting 5 job offers that week. And we stopped at a few of the places and looked at them. One in New Mexico looked really fun. And it wasn't really a campground. They had
It wasn't a campground. They had RV spots for people who come to visit.
Right. But it was a hot springs
resort. Mm. Yeah.
And so that looked really fun. The guy was really nice. They gave us a key to one of the private pools for the night while we were there. We would have taken that, but we are in a 28-foot travel trailer. And they had no shade.
Oh.
And I was afraid our air condition wouldn't keep up in the New Mexico heat.
Mm-hmm.
So, and with the animals in the trailer while we would be working, I was just afraid that wouldn't work very well. So we went for a cooler place and we stopped in Buena Vista for an interview and talked to them in Colorado. And it was 19 degrees that night.
And everything froze.
And our tanks all froze overnight. We were not equipped for the cold. So we went to another interview in Colorado and just didn't like the place. It was like a parking lot with long-term. It just wasn't the style we wanted to be in.
Well, they were changing management.
Yeah.
And they were changing people.
It was a national management company was owning it. So, or running it.
Yeah. And they were hoping to get all these new people in there to get it up to par like it used to be several years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And after we went and looked at it, I just said, I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to be the bad person to tell the people that they had to, you know, pick up their trash or move their stuff or whatever was going on at the time.
Okay.
So on the way there, we stopped to dump our tanks after they defrosted it at a KOA that we had stayed at before. And the manager there said, our other KOA in Carbondale is looking for work campers. And she gave them our name and they called us right away. And we wound up taking that position.
Oh, that's nice.
But we had been to the campground and we knew the campground was beautiful. It was on a river and it was, you know, in a historic area. And it was just really pretty there with a mountain view background. So that's how we wound up there.
And that was the Carbondale Crystal River KOA?
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, your experience talks about something we speak about at Work Camper all the time, and that is it's important to do the research before you accept a job. It really is, because you're going to be there for a couple of months, and it sounds like you guys did it the right way.
Yeah.
Well,
don't get us wrong. We, you know, every time we do this, we still learn something, and after each one, we say, okay, on our next one, we need to ask this question, you know, or make sure of this particular thing before we do what we're going to do.
The one thing that we didn't really know about the Carbondale was the owner wasn't very involved. So we did not talk to the managers before we accepted that position, which would be something that I would do in the future. I mean, I probably would have still accepted because they were really nice in the beginning. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we stayed the whole time. We filled our commitment to them, but it wasn't the best experience. Our favorite one was the one in New Hampshire where the owner was very involved in the business. Mm-hmm. And I think that would be, if I did a campground again, I think that's what I would look for. But I think we might be done with campgrounds now. I think we might look for, if we do something sometime soon, we might look for a different opportunity.
Yeah. I mean, because we actually had a guy contact us from the Dallas area who ran a self-storage unit. And we would have been, you know, the only people there on site. We would have had our own pad and electric, you know, all the amenities you would need. And they offered us a position there, too. So that might be something we might do the next time around is, I don't know, storage unit or something like that. Who knows?
You know. And we've talked about doing a quicker thing instead of, you know, we were at the Colorado from April to October.
That's a long commitment. Mm-hmm.
It is.
It's a long time. So we saw a lot of family while we were there, so that was really nice. But we think maybe doing a short term thing. Yeah. We've talked about doing Christmas trees or something
or pumpkin patch or or maybe even a national forest, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
Or the Corps engineer. They're always out there, and we always get different ones in the mail. And I always, you know, I always look at them and say the ones that I think are interesting after we discuss them.
Mm-hmm.
So we always have options.
Do you have?
I don't think I want to do that long of a commitment again, though.
Yeah.
Do you have finances in place that you don't really need to have a work camping job that's paid?
That's correct. Yeah, we're both retired. I get, you know, retired pay from the service, and then Kim retired as a nurse, so we both get pensions. And then plus we'll be getting Social Security in a year.
Okay.
So, yeah.
You know, you'll be fine. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and we have a 401k too, but
We got 401k. So,
you know, I kind of like the volunteer positions. I think you get treated differently when you're not getting paid.
Yeah, yeah, that we kind of noticed that.
Mm-hmm. When you're getting paid, sometimes you get treated more like
an employee,
a minimum wage employee. Mm-hmm. Yeah, than you, then you know they don't. Sometimes they need to consider that you've been in a professional career for your whole life,
yeah,
and you're not a teenager
thing.
When you're, you know,
right.
When you're working at one of these paid positions. But a lot of them, you do get treated differently. So
mm-hmm.
I found the volunteer ones tend to treat you more like you're part of the family than.
You had said that you're compiling a list of questions that you ask employers. Do you know, or could mm-hmm. you recite some of those? Give other people an insight of the kind of things you look for in a job?
I think we, when we were talking to the folks at the Carbondale Crystal River, we did. Because we told them, you know, they wanted us to stay through the end of October, and we told them that wasn't possible.
Right. So how long is the commitment? What are you getting paid, and how often are you going to get paid? What if you're required to pay for your site out of your pay, or if it's included, then, you know, if you pay for your site out of your pay, then you're usually paying taxes on that too. And then how involved the owner is in the campground, if they live on site, how long the managers have been there, what their background is, how many work campers there are, what your schedule will be,
right.
If there's any flexibility in your schedule, if you have to travel for anything. Can you think of anything else?
Well, that's pretty comprehensive. That should give you a good idea of what the job is like when you're combining it with you know, the descriptions of the job and information that you can glean online from the places that you're going to work.
Yep.
Yep. Super. So when your current position, well, you're not in a position now, right? You're down just visiting some relatives in Texas. Do you have?
We rent here for the winter.
Yeah, we rent here for the winter because her parents own a place here. They're like a block away.
Oh.
So we're here, yeah, to spend that time with them.
But we are thinking about buying a casita and an RV lot here for mm-hmm. winter and still travel.
Okay. Do you have any plans for the spring? Are you still looking for a job?
This spring, we're thinking we're going to just do more traveling again.
I think we're going to take this year off
and travel up the East Coast, because I have a sister who lives in Delaware, and just kind of travel up that way and then kind of cut over and come back down again. But
and we're planning a wedding. So
yeah.
I think we're going to take this season off, and then the wedding will be next summer, and then we'll see from there.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. What do you like most about the work camping experience?
I think it's the opportunity to get out there and see all the different cities and activities are around. We got to, when we were in Colorado, we got to golf at three different golf courses that were really cool.
They were pretty.
They were really gorgeous golf courses.
And then we did a lot of hiking. We went to Maroon Bells. There were really, really sweet little towns around there. And the small towns in Colorado are so historic and, you know, neat. These ones were really kind of cool to go check out.
Yeah.
But also, I mean, we've done that at every work camp place we've been. We've explored the refuge areas in Florida and the islands and stuff that were close by. But I think mine was the people that I met.
You get to meet some people that are like right around, you know, that live next door to where you used to be and you didn't even know it. and, you know, and or people that are from, you know, other countries.
And it may not be the people that you're work camping with, which in New Hampshire, we were really close with the people we were working with. But our first experience in Florida, we met two couples that will be friends for the rest of our lives. One of them is making the cake for our wedding.
Right, right, yeah.
So,
yeah.
And they were guests at the park at different times. So we got really close with them.
Right, right. Yeah.
We had Thanksgiving in Arizona last year with a couple that we met in Florida. And we were supposed to, she's the one that's making our cake, and we were supposed to meet up with them in New Mexico on the way down here, but they had some health issues and didn't make it at the time that we were coming down. So,
have you faced any challenges while you've been RVing? Wrong question.
Shall we begin?
We just faced a challenge.
A lot of it has to do with you know, the fix and repair and or maintenance of your rig.
Mm-hmm.
We spent a week in Mustang Island, which is right outside of Corpus Christi. So we were coming from Corpus Christi to
here,
and I noticed some smoke coming from the tire rims.
Oh,
and the ball bearings had given out on the rear tire. So we have a good Sam, both tire and tow, and a couple other insurance things with them. So they had a guy come out and repair it. Who didn't do a very good job. And on our next leg of the trip, the tire came off.
Oh!
A mile from after he repaired wheel came off.
Yeah, the whole wheel came off.
And everything.
Yeah, so.
We had an axle dragging the ground.
Our axle was dragging the ground. So he went looking for the tire. He disappeared. We never heard back from him again.
Uh-huh.
But on the next day, we had the tow service come out. They towed our rig to a trailer service place, and they had to put a new hub and brake assembly on it, a couple of little things.
Broke the cover.
And then we were back on the road, but that's, you know, those are big things that I can't work on because I didn't have I didn't have a place to, yeah. I mean, I was in the middle of the road. I couldn't do all that in the middle of the road.
And it was Sunday. We spent that night.
Yeah, we spent
on the corner of 77.
We spent the night in the corner of a rural area in the middle of nowhere.
With a lot of traffic.
With traffic. It must have been the only stop in the whole little town that they had that was a four-way stop and a railroad. So.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so we've had issues, but I think everybody has. And, you know, that day I was kind of like, oh, I'm ready to give this up. And and I was talking to my daughter, and she goes, well, you know, Mom, she goes, houses have maintenance issues too.
Right.
Like, okay.
Yeah. So, you know, but aside from that, everything else that's within the rig, even some of the stuff outside, I can do, or I've done myself.
Yeah. We've done a lot of modifications to it. So, yeah.
So,
okay.
But those are the biggest challenges. It's just, you know, your maintenance and your unexpected things. You know, if you can keep a level head and just kind of go with the flow, you'll do all right, you know. So, because we had 2 days before that, or was it a week before that? I think it was a week before that, we had a blowout.
Oh, yeah.
So,
and he changed that.
And I was able to change the tire myself on the side of the road.
So then we didn't have a spare, but it wouldn't have helped if we had a spare anyway, because it was the whole wheel, not just the tire.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Do you have any advice that you'd give to people considering becoming a work camper?
Becoming a work camper? I would just say, just, you know, do your research.
Yeah, don't take the first thing
and then
you see.
And don't take
look
the first
around.
Thing. Yeah.
You know, like we did this time, I really liked, because we had several choices to pick from. They had already offered us positions, and we could say, well, this one looks better than that one, and I think we'll be in a better area here. And I definitely wouldn't, you know, I know a lot of people, like one of our couples pulled in just because they were in the area, and they asked if they could, you know, possibly do help, but they weren't going to be full time on the work camp list. And then somebody else backed out and they got in full time, mm-hmm. but they were willing to pay for their spot and just help out some. And I thought, you guys probably need to look around and make sure this is what you want to do before you do that. But
Just, you know, just do your, go on to, you know, go on to Work Camper News, read a lot of those things, do a lot of research, think of questions that you might want
to
ask.
And these people are coming back next year to the same job that they were at this year. And I don't think I would do that.
Yeah, that's not something that we've thought about really doing, was going back to the same location again.
Mm-hmm. I mean, even if I really liked it, like the one in New Hampshire wants us to come back, and we thought about going back, but we've already seen that area. We've already done it. I mean, I might stop and camp there, but I don't know that I want to spend 5 months there again.
Okay, that's fair enough. Yeah, when you had five job offers, did they expect you to make a commitment within a specific amount of time or accept one of them?
They let us tell them.
Well, one did. One said...
One of them wanted us to tell them right away, and we told them we needed time, and they said they'd give us that time.
Yeah, we said, you know, we said, well, you know, we've got some other places we're going to. We need at least until, you know, we need at least a week, I think, we told them.
That's reasonable.
Over the weekend. Mm-hmm.
Okay. But you don't leave them stringing out there.
And that was the management company that was pushing us to give them a yes or no.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. But you generally don't let them string along for a couple of weeks or a month or so before you make a commitment. It's just you.
No.
Okay. These were all in the same week.
Oh, yeah, very good. Yeah. Very good.
We let them all know. I mean, because we were on that route and on that path anyway.
Okay. So we got to stop and see three of them.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Okay.
So, and we already knew this one, the one that we took. So we actually knew four of them exactly where they were at and what kind of campground they were and had been there.
Excellent.
So,
well, thank you so much, guys. I appreciate the time. I know we've gone over, you know, over 30 minutes of your time, and I really appreciate the stories and the advice. It sounds like you've had an enjoyable work camping experience, and I wish you the best of luck in 2021. Hopefully it'll be a better year.
I hope so too. Got to be better for everyone, I think.
I really appreciate Kimberly Leal and Phil Grunder for taking time to share their work camping experiences with us today. They already have had a lot of fun and interesting memories about the places they worked and the areas they visited. They also met some wonderful people along the way who remained pretty close friends. They also recalled a hair-raising experience in which a tire started smoking, but even after the bearings were replaced, the entire wheel came off to the point the axle was dragging on the ground. After experiencing sharks, sudden snowstorms, tire problems, and a whole bunch of positive events as well, Kimberly and Phil chronicle their adventures on their blog that can be read at www.bctravels.com. I encourage you to check it out. During the interview, Phil noted that he reviews job listings from the Work Camper News hotline emails he receives every day. He keeps folders of the jobs they find really interesting, all sorted by the states they hope to visit someday. So when they're ready to plan their next adventure, they already have a reference of possible jobs to pursue and places to go. Whether it's through the Work Camper News magazine that comes out 6 times a year, or the daily Work Camper hotline, you can get notified of thousands of short-term, full, and part-time jobs around the country. As a member, you also get access to tools that will help you get started as a work camper, develop an effective resume, leave and read evaluations of work camping experiences, and improve the overall RV lifestyle by viewing dozens of helpful videos. For more information, visit www.workcamper.com. This episode is sponsored by the National RV Training Academy in Athens, Texas. The Academy's 1-week live training or home study course will teach you everything you need to know to
fix about 80% of the problems people experience with their RVs. You can also sign up for additional training to become an RV inspector, campground technician, or to provide mobile RV service. For more information, visit www.nrvta.com. That's all we have for this week's show. Next week, I'll talk with an employer from Vermont about a fun opportunity to help people enjoy their vacations in one of the most scenic areas of all of America. We'll see you next week on The Work Camper Show. Thanks for listening.